Praise God. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to minister on something tonight that the Lord really has kind of been, I've been feeding on some things, and the Lord's been speaking to me about some stuff. So if this message misses you all together, just say, well, pastor's preaching to himself. Because, you know, how many of you know we all need to be fed? Amen. So maybe I am just talking to me. But I have a sneaky suspicion that there are probably some things that you're going through where you'll be able to identify with some of the things out of the Word of God that we're going to share with you. And what's the amazing thing about the Word of God is it will find you out. It's like that old commercial for placards. It'll go into the hard-to-reach areas of your life. Amen. And it'll begin to deal with you about some stuff. And thank God, anytime God gets in your stuff and messes with your stuff, it's because He's looking to help you. Can you say amen? He's not looking to hurt you. He's looking to help you. I know a lot of times where we tend to be, and I know I, being a public figure much of my life, I can be a real private guy. And, you know, kind of want to shut the doors to your personal life, you know, to other people, because they're not always good trustees with the secrets of your life or with the inner parts of your life. But how many of you know God is always safe to let in? Besides all that, He sees it all anyway. It's not like you can hide from Him. But if God's getting in your stuff or dealing with you or talking to you or ministering to you out of His Word, it's because He wants to help you. He wants to maximize your potential in Him. Can you say amen? So we're going to share some things tonight about being made strong in our weakness. That's why I was working so hard to get that music working tonight, because that last song, they talk about His strength in my weakness. Aren't you glad that when you're weak, He is strong? And there's some areas in which perhaps naturally there's a certain strength that you have, a confidence that you carry, but I guarantee you there's areas of your life where you lack confidence. There's areas of your life that you just feel, I wish I could be a little stronger in some of these areas. I just wish that I had a strength here, because it seems like periodically I run into situations where there's limitations in my life, but I'm not as strong or as confident in certain areas or certain arenas as I'd like to be. But thank God He will make Himself strong in the midst of our weakness. If there's one thing that I've found to be universally true, it's that all human beings share somewhere in their life a sense of inability or inadequacy. Or we would might even say insecurity. And I know among faith people, we don't like to say that. No, thank God I knew who I am in Christ. And yes, we do. And yes, we rehearse those truths. But all of us run into those moments. Can you say amen? Where we just don't feel as confident, amen, as we need to. And yet the Lord promises that He'll be our strength in the midst of our weakness. So let's go to that passage of Scripture that we're probably all very familiar with in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul says. This is that thorn in the flesh passage. And many people have taken maybe a wrong perspective or view of it. We're not going to get into a lot of the theology of it. We could. There's a lot of good, actually, things here on the subject of healing. And like we said, we're going to do one healing service a month. And we do that probably every third Wednesday night. But we're not going to get so much in that. But we're going to talk about how through the strength of God we can overcome obstacles in our lives. And so here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 7, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me." And then he specifies what that was. "A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." You know, we all do that whether we want to admit it or not. "Lord, just take this thing out of my life. Just remove this circumstance from me altogether." And God says, "No, I got a different idea. We're not going to go around it. We're not going to remove it. We're going to go through it." How are we going to do that? He said, and He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." How do you know we are to have our minds renewed with the Word of God? So however God tells us we're to think, that is how we are to think. That should be the perspective that we have. And when Paul says, "I glory in these things, persecutions, distresses, and needs," we can say, "Amen, praise the Lord." But really, we know in our lives that we probably are doing that verse kind of like we're doing James 1:2, where the Bible says, you know, "Be excited, brethren, when you go through various trials, tests, and temptations, knowing that the perfecting of your faith, you know, works endurance." Oh yeah, I love that endurance business. I love that patience stuff. I love going through the midst of tests and trials. Oh Lord, I count it all joy when I'm going through the midst of these things. Amen. So we all know that there is a challenge, there's a walk of faith, is there not? associated with being a doer of some of these things. And yet Paul said, in the midst of all this stuff, in needs, reproaches, infirmities, and distresses, he said, I rejoice, because when I'm weak, when I've reached the end of my resources, that's when God turns on what I ain't got. And he becomes strong in the midst of my weaknesses. So Paul here is talking about God's grace being our sufficiency even in the midst of our inadequacies. Amen. And the fact is, I wish I had better news, but you're going to run into things probably on a daily basis where you, in and of yourselves, don't find what you feel you need to be equal to the task. Can you say amen? And it's at those times that we have to learn to trust in the grace of God to fill in the gap and make up the difference. And that's not only true in life, but it's also true when it comes to stepping up in our service for Him. What you have to realize in times like that is that God already knew what you were capable of, what you had and what you didn't have, when He placed you where He placed you, when He led you where He led you, when He allowed you to go where you ended up going. He already knew, praise God, and He was never counting on you having to rely on yourself to begin with, or on your abilities to get the job done to begin with. Can you say amen? Sometimes we're so conscious of our shortcomings that we automatically disqualify ourselves and start making excuses. And we use our inadequacies to justify not participating in the purposes of God. Can you say amen? Now, if there's ever anybody in the Bible who did this, it would have had to have been Moses. So let's go back to when God spoke to Moses in Exodus chapter 4. This is that famous burning bush occasion. And God shows up, the angel of the Lord shows up in the foliage where Moses is tending sheep. Now, I don't know how many burning bushes at your house you've had talk to you, but when that happens, how many of you know God's in the middle of doing something? I don't know, but whenever I see God move supernaturally on my behalf, whether He speaks to me through perhaps an anointed man of God, or even when I'm really touched in the midst of a message, and I know that no matter who else is being spoken to, God's talking to me, it encourages me to know that, hey, God is with me, He's on my side. Can you say amen? And yet Moses is here full of self-doubt as he's being called of God to do something supernatural. Exodus 4, and we'll look at verses 1 through 10, we'll probably take them piecemeal here. It said, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And you could understand them saying that, because as I said, not every day does God talk to people out of the trees. Can you say amen? So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod, or we would say a stick. And he said, cast it on the ground. I love the fact that God doesn't have to rely on strange, exotic things to make a difference in the world. He can use the stick in your hand. Amen. I mean, you don't get much more common than a stick. In other words, God will sanctify whatever you've got ready to hand and help you to use it for His glory. Can you say amen? So he said, I got a rod here, I got a stick. He said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river, pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now, not only has God called Moses in this dramatic fashion, but He's also demonstrated to him clearly with signs and wonders how He's going to be with them in the midst of this call, of this thing that He's asking him to pull off. But the very first thing Moses wants to do is talk about his inadequacies. Now, Lord, I can't talk good. You're asking me to be your spokesman, and I can't even speak. Now, you know, we look at Moses and we criticize, but you know, I've seen this with a lot of Pentecostal charismatic type people. They'll talk big about the power of God. They'll talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but then the very first time God asks them to step in to do something they've never done before, they immediately want to disqualify themselves by talking about their inadequacies. Lord, I'm not good enough. Lord, I'm not gifted enough. How about this one? Lord, I'm not smart enough. Or maybe this one. Do you know about my past, Lord? Because if you don't, there's a whole bunch of folk on Twitter who will tell you all about my past. Especially if you live in a small community like Taft. Or how about this one? You know, Lord, I don't have it all together yet. You know those people that are always saying, as soon as I get it together, I'm coming to church. You want that code for? I'm never coming to church. Because if you wait till you have it all together before you come, you'll never make it. Can you say amen? Or then there's this one. Lord, I'm still struggling with some issues in my life. Now listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't take sin seriously, and I'm not saying God won't deal with our stuff, because He will. He'll talk to you about some stuff. Can you say amen? And He'll allow the Word of God to expose some things to yourself so that you can allow Him to do a cleansing work in your life. But you've got to realize this, friend. When it comes to limitations, we've all got them. And oftentimes our perceived inadequacies and our perceived limitations really come from comparing ourselves with someone else. Because I ain't got it like they got it. Or I can't do it like they can do it. Can you say amen? But how do you know God made us all different? With different abilities, with different strengths. Why? So that in doing what we do together, we have complementary strengths so that we can join hand in hand and arm in arm and do what God's called us to do as a corporate body. Can you say amen? Now I know you're familiar with it, but I'm going to read it to you and you can look at it if you like. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just kind of deviate for a moment here. 1 Corinthians 12, 15 through 18. You know the verses, I'm sure. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? What's the answer? No, it's still part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now has God set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. Amen. So God set you in the church. He gave you the function that He did. He gave you the gifts and the abilities that He did as it pleased Him, not necessarily as it pleased you. I like what one individual said. They said, God loves you and everyone else has a wonderful plan for your life. And there's a lot of people who've made up their mind how you should serve Him or what you should do with your life. But God is the one who sets the members in the church as He pleases. And according to the gift of the grace of God that He's given them. A few things to remember when talking about your limitations. Number one, it's never going to be God who's going to talk to you about what you don't have. You notice this? God gives Moses an enormous task. And never once does He bring up his speech impediment or his inability to get up in front of crowds. You know, I understand Moses' reticence. I've always been able to get up in front of folk and talk, but they say that year after year they do these surveys, and the number one fear among people is getting in front of a crowd and having to do public speaking. So Moses is not unique, and he probably could talk just as well as anybody else, but put him on the spot, and all of a sudden, you know, his knees begin to fellowship one with another, and he doesn't have the boldness and confidence that he has on the backside of the desert herding those sheep. Because as far as he's concerned, I don't have an ability, I don't have an adequacy in that particular area, Lord. But the only one who's going to talk about your inadequacy in the light of the call of God is either you or the devil. And you know, the devil has a lot of mouthpieces. A lot of times he plays ventriloquist and he talks through your friends. He might have talked through your folks. He might talk through other associations or acquaintances and remind you of all the things you don't have at your disposal, or the abilities you don't have. But that voice didn't come from God. And God has said to me on more than one occasion, Randy, you just need to ask yourself from time to time, who's that talking to you? Because sometimes we'll carry on a dialogue with the devil and not realize who we're fellowshipping with. Can you say amen? You know that you're going, whenever you're talking to the devil, you know, because you go down, 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 down. Because to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Number two, second thing you need to know about your limitations is that when you talk to God about your limitations, you're not telling Him anything He doesn't already know. Can you say amen? Now, granted, most of the time when we're thinking about our limitations, we it's not necessarily in a face-to-face type conversation with God like Moses is having with this burning bush. Usually it's an inner dialogue that's going on between you and your own heart when you're hearing maybe the pastor cast vision. And he's talking about all the great initiatives they want to do and how God's called you to be a world changer and a history maker. And you start thinking of some areas where maybe you can participate in this or that or be a part. And then you start thinking about all those inadequacies. And then one by one, the lights in your heart just get shut off. Until finally you just feel like there's nothing left on the inside of you that you have to contribute. The good thing is this, friend, that when it comes to the areas where we've missed it, if it comes to inadequacies, when it comes to maybe the behavior or lifestyle we've been living, thank God there's mercy and forgiveness for our sins and there's grace for our weaknesses. Can you say amen? We can find them both at the throne of grace. You know, the Bible says, and I'll just quote it to you, Hebrews 4:15 and 16, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In fact, not only will God forgive you, but the Bible goes on to say in Hebrews 9:14 that the blood of Jesus will purge your conscience so that you might serve the living God. You know what that means? That means when you have adequate faith in the blood, you can't even make the devil can't even make you feel bad about it anymore. Amen. You know, the good thing to remember is that those folk, whoever they might be, including the devil, they ain't your judge. Amen. Who is it who can condemn you? Christ, who has justified you. Can you say amen? And so thank God His precious blood will purge your conscience so that you can move forward in your life in service to God. Next thing you need to realize when it comes to your shortcomings, when you bring up your shortcomings in the light of the call of God, you are in effect telling God that He was wrong. Think about it. Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since." In other words, I wasn't a good talker before You started talking to me through this bush. And unless something's changed in my life, I'm still not a good talker. Amen. So in other words, in case you didn't notice, Lord, I wasn't a good talker before. I'm not a good talker now. So either You chose the wrong guy or You didn't put in me what it is I need to do, what You're calling me to do. So in effect, You're saying, Lord, You got the wrong guy or You were wrong in calling me to do this. How many of you know neither one of those responses are going to make the Lord feel all warm and fuzzy? Can you say amen? Listen to what the Lord said to him. Exodus 4:11. It says, So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to say." You know, so much of the time, while we're making excuses about how we can't do what God is asking us to step up and do, we're really talking ourselves out of an opportunity to see the power of God at work. Because it's when you're not able that He shows up with His grace, His sufficiency, and His ability to put you over in those moments. Can you say amen? That's what we want to see. Isn't that what He said, told Paul when he was talking to him? He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in the midst of your weakness." His grace is sufficient. His strength comes on the scene when we are weak. His ability makes up the difference when we can't do it. Can you say amen? And so thank God we need to allow God to demonstrate His power through us. You know, when we talk about His grace is sufficient, a lot of times we have a very narrow view of what grace means. Grace isn't just unmerited favor. It's not just His willingness to forgive our sins. Really, the word grace always carries the idea of something bestowed upon us by God apart from our merit and apart from our ability. In other words, salvation is by grace. You couldn't save yourself and you certainly did not merit it. But grace is not just used in that context. Oftentimes, grace is used in the context of ministry. For example, Ephesians 4:7 says that unto every one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ, talking about how we serve the Lord. In this context, you could define grace this way. It's His ability in you to do what you don't have the ability to do. I like that. Grace is God's ability in me to do what I don't have the ability to do. Can you say amen? And all of us carry a measure of that grace in our lives to perform whatever it is God's called us to do. Again, Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Whom God calls, He equips. Can you say amen? So in Exodus 4, 13 and 14, notice what he goes on to say. It says, but he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Let me say something about this. Moses goes a step too far here about his insecurities. Insecurity is not humility. Insecurity is unbelief. It's telling God that he's got it wrong. And it's disobedience based on the lie that God won't come through for you when you need Him to. Amen? And no matter what you do for God, you're going to have to do it by faith. You're going to have to step out in faith and believe that God is going to meet you at that point of obedience. Can you say amen? And one thing's for sure, you're never going to change His mind. Romans 11, 29 said, the gift and calling of God are irrevocable. That means it never goes away. You can postpone your obedience to God indefinitely. But 20 years later, when you come down to the altar and renew your commitment to Him, He's going to say, okay, now are you ready to do what I called you to do? And His grace will still be sufficient at that moment if you'll step out in faith and do what He's called you to do. Can you say amen? There's a story of a relatively famous evangelist. He was mightily used about a generation or so ago. And I heard the story from a spiritual father of mine. And this man came down to the altar. At that time, there was a great number of people that were going to India. This is when, you know, just before they shut the doors. But a lot of people were going, China. They were going to China and serving the Lord there, many of them giving their lives for the sake of the gospel. And this man went to the altar, but this fear came in his heart. If I surrender to Christ, He's going to send me to China. And the thought caused him to be so fearful that he got up out of the altar and walked away from the Lord. He did not yield his heart to Christ. And for years, he ran from that call. And in the frustration and bitterness of that lack of willingness to obey, he lived, you know, just a dissolute life. He did not live for God. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit never left him. And God would deal with him over the years. And finally, years later, he came back to the altar. Same scenario. You know, will you go to China for me? And this fear, what if God sends me to China? I could lose my life. And he just could not say yes. And again, walked away from the Lord. Finally, years later, he comes back to God after having wasted all that time. And he says, okay, Lord, I'll go to China for you. And the Lord says, I don't want you to go to China, but I want you to be willing to go to China. All those years wasted for something God was never asking him to do in the first place. But here's the thing. The call of God is non-negotiable. You know, I think it's fair to say that in America, we have created a Christianity that's all on our terms. Can I just meddle for a minute? It's what preachers do, you know. We go to church when we want to go to church. We live committed lives when we want to live committed lives. We do for God what we want to do, but we don't really heed His voice. How many of you, number one, we got that book, the Word of God. And that's a non-negotiable with the Lord too. Can you say amen? His general will as is revealed to all of us. It's not negotiable. And I'm surprised how many people I've heard say things like, well, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, but the Word of God tells you very plainly you have to. Well, I don't care, word or no word, I'm not going to do it. Amen. Well, how many of you can only go so far that way and you're not going to be blessed on the level that God wants to bless you with that level of disobedience in your heart. But the same thing can be true about specific things God says to your life. You know, you think about it, your best life is just waiting for your obedience. But the same thing is true on the other end of the stick. If you don't say yes to God, it can cost you. I remember, you know, when I was, not when I was going to Rhema, I heard the story afterward, but Keith Moore, who ran the healing school for Brother Hagin for about 15 years, he did that before he went and started his church in Branson. But he worked for him for, I think, a total of about 20 years. But anyway, he was head over the prayer and healing center. And they would have terminal cases come to the school all the time. They had one particular healing school. You couldn't come to it unless you were terminal, unless you were given no chance or given up by medical science. So they had people that would come there, and this was their last opportunity to hear the Word of God and be healed. And so he said he had one gentleman come, and he said the guy had such a sweet spirit about him. He said, I could not understand why he was not making his connection. He believed the Word of God. He knew what the Word of God had to say about God's provision for his body. He knew the Word of God. But for whatever reason, this sweet man just could not seem to make a connection for his healing. And then one day, Brother Moore started teaching along these lines, to qualify for God's best for your life, you've got to do God's best for your life. And he was preaching, I think, out of Isaiah 1:19, where the Bible said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. See, a lot of times we want God's best, but we don't want to live according to God's will. We've got our own agenda. We've got our own parameters we've established for what I'll do for Jesus. Amen. And so this brother came up to Brother Moore and he said, I know where I've been missing it. I know where I've not made my connection. He said, why? He said, years ago, the Lord called me to the mission field. And he said, I was so excited to go and honor God. He said, I came and told my wife, and she said, God ain't calling me to no mission field. If you go, you're going to have to go on your own. He said, you have to choose between the mission field and me. And he said, I didn't want to lose her. So he said, I didn't go. He said, Brother Moore, it's cost us. It cost us in our business. Cost us in our health. Obviously, he was, you know, had a terminal condition. He said, it's cost us with our children. Thank God it's never too late. It's never too late to say yes to Jesus. But you can't qualify for His best if you're not willing to do His best for your life. Can you say amen? If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Notice what God says to Moses about all this. He said, you know, Lord, find someone else to do it. Send by the hand of whomsoever else that you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, it's not Aaron the Levite your brother. I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth. And I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman of the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the sign. So God did not leave Moses. Moses said, I'm going to renegotiate the deal, God. But how many know God is a good negotiator? And Moses did not get out of his contract. He still had to do what God called him to do, but he did assure him, I'm going to give you some help. Now, I believe that this little accommodation was made because Moses was hesitant and slow to obey God. But I do think it brings something else out of this. And that is simply this. That God is not asking you to do what He's asking you to do alone. God is not calling you all by yourself. Like I said, God calls us to be a team. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in gathering a team of people together. All of us uniquely and differently graced and enabled by God to do different facets of service to Him. Amen. So that coming together, we can utilize that grace and utilize the strength so that there's no wanting of strength in the house. Because everybody's supplying something. Amen. Can you say amen? And so God hadn't called us to be alone. I remember having a conversation with God, very much like Moses' conversation. And you know, the interesting thing was, I knew who God had called me. In fact, He had demonstrated it supernaturally to me as well. I shared that story a couple of different times where I'm thinking about going to Vermont. God's put in my heart to go to Vermont and start a church. I mean, I'm in the traveling ministry living in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And all of a sudden God says to me, I want you to go to Vermont and start a work. And I know it's God. And I just know in my knower, all the people associated in my life at that time, they know it's God. But you know, still it's a huge step. Again, I'm going to move halfway across the country in the other direction. You know, leave everything, all the security behind, kind of like Abraham going into a land I know not. Now, I had traveled there, I'd built relationships there, but I'd never lived there. And so now you're leaving everything that's secure, everything that you'd worked so long to establish, and going and starting all over again. And I remember coming to a meeting one morning. It was a Holy Ghost meeting at Mark Brzee's church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all these wonderful men and women of God ministering there. And I come late for the service because I had some other things to do, and it was a morning service. I came a little bit late, and all the people are down front being ministered to. In fact, I see all these people streaming down there, and I thought, I nudged the guy. I said, what are they all going down for? And I said, just because. It's one of those meetings, you know. It wasn't necessarily, you know, a real clean order of service. It's whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do. So all these people are going down there just to get blessed of God. So I thought, well, if they can, I can too. So I walked on down there. And like I've shared the story already, and I don't mean to repeat it, but just to show you, give you an idea. I'm sitting there, and on that day was the very first day I'd wavered at all in my heart and mind. Because I thought, boy, this is a big step. This better be right. What if? What if? You know, the devil's great on the what ifs. And so Brother Mark's there, he's ministering to people, he's kind of three sheets to the wind under the influence of the Holy Ghost. I mean, he's just, you know, kind of standing there, you know, just under the power of God. And he kind of looks over in my direction. When he looks at me, our eyes lock. And he, like I say, he doesn't really know me from Adam other than I'm attending his church and I'm traveling out of there. But he points a long finger at me and he comes over and stands right in front of me. He says, you know, you don't wonder, you know, it's as clear as a light from heaven. Nothing left now but praying out the details. And he kind of threw his hands in my direction, the power of God hit me and out of the ground I went. Well, it's hard to doubt now, because I haven't shared anything with him. He doesn't know anything about anything. And that was the very first day I've begun to waver a little bit in my mind. So God has established clearly for me, this is my will for you to do this. And yet I had questions like Moses. I said, Lord, you know, it wasn't a matter of really, I didn't doubt the call. I didn't doubt God for that matter. I doubted me. And I said some things to the Lord like this. This is kind of how the conversation went. I said, Lord, you know, to build a good church, it's not enough just to preach and teach the Word. I mean, you got to have good children's ministry. You got to have a good worship team. And Lord, some of those things I'm not adequate for. I can play the keyboard, I can keep tune, but there's so many facets to a church that, I mean, even though I recognize the need for them, I'm not even really into it. Certain things. And you got to have them. For example, you don't want me watching your kids in the back. Because you'll go back there and they will have taken over. And I'll be in a fetal position in the corner with my thumb in my mouth waiting for someone to deliver me. So that's not my grace. I know a lot of people say that when it comes to kids, but there are people for whom that is their thing. And they love that. And that's where they're gifted. And thank God for them. And I'm kind of laying these questions out before God, kind of like Moses did. And the Lord kind of just said it to me this way. He said, well, you weren't planning on doing this all by yourself, were you? And to be honest with you, I hadn't even really thought of it. I'd been out of pastoring for 6 years. I'd been traveling and enjoying myself. In fact, I used to joke and say, because the fellow I traveled with had pastored for 13 years. And I used to say, Rick pastored for 13 years. I pastored for 6 because I got out in half the time for good behavior. Well, after God spoke to me, I said, well, folks, I guess I've broken parole because I'm going back in. Amen. And we pastored that church for 10 years. And God established a strong work there and He sent the people. And that's one of the things that the Lord's made me aware of. If I've called you to go and to start a work, then I'm not just speaking to you. But as surely as I've called a shepherd, I've called sheep who will come and bring their resources and their gifts and their grace. And they'll supply what you don't have. Amen. So that there's sufficient grace in the house. Can you say amen? I kind of coming down to the end of this, and I don't want to drag it on too much longer. I want to close here in just a moment. But let me just say this. Whenever you commit yourself to do what God's called you to do, if God calls you to this house to hook up to the vision that God's given us, one of the things you'll realize is that He will commit grace to your life. So that you can play a role. So that you can supply your measure of gifting and grace. So that the work of God can be done. It's not going to just be done by myself or my wife or just a handful of people. God's called every member of the body to have function. In fact, you know, a lot of times we say that. We say, well, you know, we're members of the body of Christ. And we kind of use that phrase interchangeably with the church. We say, oh, the church, the body. But they're not interchangeable. There's two different allegories there. Well, the church, number one, just is the ecclesia, the called out ones. We've been called out from the world unto God. We're members of the family. But when God says you're a member of the body, He's implying you have function. The whole analogy of Paul talking about the members of the body is not just saying that you're members of the family. He can say that a different way. When he's saying you're a member of the body, he's saying you've got function. And you know, it's interesting, even the members of the body, that you don't even know how to pronounce their name. They do something in you. You need to survive. You know what the Bible said? Those parts of the body that are less of less notoriety, upon those we bestow the more abundant honor. Amen. And there's parts in your body you've never seen with your eyes. Amen. Little squiggly things down in there that you don't even know what to label it. But I guarantee you, you need it functioning. Amen. Because it's causing you to live and be healthy. And you don't really realize how important it is until it's not doing what it's supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, all you can think about is that little doohickey that you didn't even know what to call it 5 minutes ago. But you know how to spell it. You know where it's at. You know what's wrong with it and what you need to get it fixed in a moment of time. Isn't that right? And all you have to do in the church is just be missing some vital components to fulfilling God's purpose. And you're very conscious of what you don't have. Now, how important it is that we all contribute what God has given us for the upbuilding of the body. Can you say amen? So I just want to ask you this kind of as we close. What's God stirring in your heart? What's He saying to you? What passions do you have down on the inside of you? Things you want to do for Him? Where can you plug into the vision that God's given this house, wherever He's called you to plant? God's gifted each and every one of us to do something. And I'm just going to close with this verse of Scripture. In Romans 12:3, the Bible says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to everyone a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. In prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Or in ministry, let us use it," talking about using our faith, in our ministering. Or he who teaches, use your faith in teaching. Or he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, when Paul talks about this measure of faith, a lot of times we've heard faith teachers say, yes, we all have a measure of faith, and they're talking about the measure of faith we use to believe God for His promises and so forth. That's really not what this is talking about. This is saying that for every gift of grace God has given, there is a corresponding measure of faith He's given you to give expression to that gift of grace. See, I have a gift on my life. I'm called to teach, to preach the Word of God. That grace is in me, but it's dormant until I step out in faith and say I'm going to give expression now to that grace. I've been in places, friends, I've shared this before, I've been in places where they've introduced me. I'm there as a guest. I have no intention of preaching. They bring me up on the platform, shake my hand, and there's hundreds of people there, and they say, Brother Eddie's going to bring us a word in about 5 minutes. Brother, we'll call you up when we want you to preach. I have no notes. I have my Bible and the Holy Ghost. But I know there's a gift. And if I'll step out by faith, He'll put words in my mouth, words from heaven. And I've never seen Him let me down. Because there's a gift there. But I still have to step out by faith. If I'm hiding behind the pew, when Brother so-and-so calls me, there's not going to be any expression given to that grace He's given me. So you have to step out. And when I first started stepping out, it was a little rough. You wouldn't necessarily say I gave the greatest expression to the grace of God within me. Because how many of you know there's also a stewardship of that grace? I also had to study. I also had to have something in there worth giving expression to when the anointing came on me. But I stewarded that gift, and still to this day, every ounce of time I got, I'm reading, I'm listening, I'm feeding. Why? Because I have a stewardship of that grace, but I never tap into it until I step out in faith. You know, until you try, amen, until you step out and say, you know what, I don't know what it is, but Pastor, every time you talk about that need, that area, that initiative, that whatever else, something connects in my heart with it. You can be called the mission field. And somebody's sharing about how God's used them in the field to touch a people group. And everyone else is bored and waiting to go to lunch. But something in your heart says, there's something in me that connects with that. But how many of you know just sitting in that pew, excited about what God's doing with someone else, will not give expression to the grace in your life? You're going to have to take some steps of obedience. It might mean some preparation time. Amen? But if you will start to give yourself in faith to what God's put on the inside of you, your grace will talk to you. It's got a voice. And whenever you hear people talking about that area of service, something in your heart will say, I like that. I connect with that. I don't know why, but when he talks about that, you know, as a young kid, I grew up Southern Baptist before I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And like Brother Hagin said, I got the left foot of fellowship from among the Baptists. But all our golden boys were preachers. Billy Graham, James Robinson, they'd win the lost. Man, that was their call. Win souls to Christ. But my heart always gravitated to the church. I liked to teach. And I just knew there was something different in me, that my call was to the body. To build the body, to instruct the body, to equip the body. And I followed that. And I got around people that had a similar gift or grace. In fact, if I listened to them too much, I started to sound like them. And I wasn't trying to mimic them, but there was something through the association. It just started to give expression to my life because I had a similar gift. And you get around certain people that have a similar gift, it'll activate something in you. Amen. I'm just saying tonight, God wants us hitting on all cylinders, and there's going to be a lot of areas where the devil's going to give you opportunity to feel inadequate, to feel like you're disqualified because of fill in the blank, whatever. But God will show up strong in the midst of your weakness. Amen. He'll give you ability where you have none. He'll give you grace to supply your deficiencies. Amen. And He'll remove and replace your inadequacies with His sufficiency. Because He's faithful. His grace is sufficient. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness tonight. We thank You for that all-sufficient grace. Father, we thank You there's nothing wanting, there's nothing lacking in Your grace, in that provision You've made for us. We thank You. You are a more than enough God. So Father, tonight we put our trust in You. And I just pray, Lord God, that wherever this might have landed in someone's life and world, wherever these words might have spoken and witnessed to their hearts, we pray, Father God, that You would do that work. that you said you would do, that Father God, there would be a washing of the water of the Word, that the Word would inspire faith in our heart to grab hold of the destiny that you've called each and every one of us to, Father God. Maybe different gifts, different graces, different direction, and yet, Father God, something by which we can participate in your purpose in the earth and in our community. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, you don't have to go anywhere exotic or do anything all that different to be used of God right where you are. You know, there's a sufficient grace on your life to make a difference right now in your world. Amen. And so just be looking for God. A lot of times He'll speak to you in some subtle ways, you know, and give you opportunities that sometimes we're looking past those to something bigger. But if we'll be faithful with what He's given us, then more will come. Can you say amen? Praise God.